Sourcing for innovation, making sense of the rapidly changing worlds of artificial intelligence, workforce development, and digital transformation.
Sourcing for Innovation podcast, episode 29. My name is Adam Curtis, joined today by Kurt Schwab, Candlelight's president of On Demand and co-author of the book, The Responsive Enterprise, Transform Your Organization to Thrive on Change. Out, keep me honest here, March 5th. Is that correct, Kurt?
Wherever you buy books, March 5th, correct.
But pre-order now.
Pre-order it now, yes. Let's get the word out there.
The pre-order is what makes it rise in the algorithms, folks. It's very important.
That's what I hear.
Today, we're going to spend, I think, most of the conversation focusing on this human element needed for a responsive enterprise. But before we dive, you know, deep into the weeds there, can you first just give us a quick overview of the book, why you wrote it, and how it can help business leaders?
I've worked in consulting, business and technology consulting, for almost 25 years now. And I think what we've seen in the past 5 years is an acceleration of change. So it requires a different set of solutions to solve some of those challenges that come along with that rapid change. And so we thought a framework to help solve some of those problems and help build a more resilient and responsive enterprise would make sense. And we commissioned Forrester to do a study about this. And it turned out that a lot of the hypotheses that we had about building a responsive enterprise turned out to be true.
Now, with this rate of change increasing, what do you attribute that to? Is this some sort of business parallel to Moore's Law, or, you know, the processing power of a chip doubles each year? Is that starting to really integrate itself into business structures and organizations and enterprises themselves?
I think a lot of it has to do with technology, but there are some other factors that are involved as well. Like, I mean, we're very connected right now, right? I mean, it's, you know, we've got a global economy. Industries are connected in ways where they previously were not connected before. And that has just a tendency, I believe, to have this overarching impact of accelerated change. And the impact of change, you know, it's almost like the butterfly effect, right? Something can happen in the other, another area of the world and have a profound impact on, you know, a small business in Ohio. So the connectivity of it, I think, is the primary driver for why we're seeing so much profound change that has implications across lots of different industries and lots of different geographies.
Yeah, we really saw that with all the supply chain issues that came out of, you know, COVID and just quote unquote post COVID. I'll put that in big air quotes given the current wave that we're under right now. And we see that even like this week with the, you know, unrest in the Middle East and shipping lanes being upset and stuff. Price of gasoline goes up. That's going to affect businesses from, you know, huge consumers of fuel like the, you know, airplane industry or shipping industry, trucking industries. And that's going to, again, just sort of trickle down, as it were, to any other business out there. And these are things that people have absolutely no control over, but need to be responsive to.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, one of the things that we really hung our hat on with this idea is that organizations need three like primary things in order to be a responsive enterprise. The first one is customer centricity. That's ultimately what's going to create the differentiation in today's marketplace. There's so much parity nowadays. There are IT services companies. A lot of them are really good at what they do. So to differentiate in that space, very difficult. Even in like consumer products, you know, I mean, a washing machine is kind of a washing machine these days. But the service, the actual like interaction that you're having with individuals around purchasing a product, delivering a solution, any type of services industry that you might be involved with, that's really where you're getting the differentiation and you're really unlocking that value of customer experience, which is ultimately going to make the difference for you with your customer base. The second thing was operational excellence. And Operational excellence is really the systems that enable a business to repeat things over and over and over again that create value for companies. So if you think like old school consulting language, operational excellence was always like a core capability of consulting companies. But you think about things like change management, robotic process optimization is in there. Business process optimization. So those types of like mapping activities where you can identify repeatable processes and try to implement technology that makes things easier. But it's more systems, right? The third thing that we found that was just crucial for organizations to be responsive in our current environment is agility. And it's a term that we coined called enterprise agility. And what it does is it essentially takes software development, agile software development, methodologies, tools, and ways of working, and we apply those across functional areas of a business. So if you think about it, from a software perspective, developers and project managers and business analysts have been using agile successfully for many years. And it's really successful because it's impossible to know all of the outcomes that could potentially happen when you're working with really complex systems that are connected with a bunch of other really complex systems. And so when you're working kind of like in short sprints, where there's lots of activity and then you're checking in all of your code and you're testing things and you're making sure that everybody is heading down the right path, you're not, you know, going 3 months down a path and then pulling the curtain back. And then all of a sudden we've gone down the wrong path and we've got to reverse 3 months. And so when things are constantly changing, to have an enterprise agile like mindset, that's not just in the technology side of your business, but it's in operations, it's in sales, it's in marketing, it's in finance. That is critical to being able to be successful in today's environment as well.
So those three things, customer centricity, operational excellence, and enterprise agility, you just talked a lot about the sort of systems behind it. But also in the book, you say, and this to me is sort of like the most important crux of the argument, that enterprises may be systems, but they're not machines. The most important element in any enterprise is the human element, the people contributing to it. So how does that human element, the talent, the people in an enterprise really fit into those three buckets of enterprise agility and customer centricity and operational excellence?
Well, it's the most important, but it's also the most complex part of a responsive enterprise, right? It's people.
Humans always more, way more emotions, way more things to deal with than an AI system.
That's right. There are an infinite number of possibilities that could be outcomes with a bunch of people when we get them together. So really, it doesn't matter what industry it is. People are the, as I said, you know, when you're talking about differentiators, it really is. It's the number one differentiator that's going to drive that value for organizations. But I think if we were to try to distill it down to like a very like specific like action item that we could take away from it, if we were interested in building a responsive enterprise, it's really the ability to have connectivity and feedback loops across an organization. So break down all of the silos inside of a company and have that that mindset, that agile mindset, that mindset that we can be responsive to change and ultimately be successful is something that, you know, it's going to fail unless it's if it's consistent across an entire organization. So we talk a lot about that throughout in the book, specifically in chapter 11, we talk about how IT specifically is challenged with this idea of being responsive because historically, like the IT department has all of these old school systems, or sometimes they have old school legacy systems, very hard to change, but a lot of things are changing around them. And so there's a lot of technical debt. And so the idea that we talk about in the book with IT departments is maybe it's better for IT departments to be more aligned with functional areas of the business versus being a standalone department where they typically tend to be more risk averse. They're the last to get the budget because they're the furthest away from revenue generating activities a lot of times. And when something goes wrong, they typically get blamed for it. So if we break that responsibility of the IT department out and align areas of the IT department up with functional areas of the business, like marketing, like finance, like operations, we typically, you know, what we saw through the Forrester study and some of the other research that we did associated with the book is that the IT people are basically sitting right next to like product people. And that has a profound impact on the ability for them to ultimately be successful and to drive more value out of the IT budgets that they get because they're closer to the business.
It seems that that's also a way to cut down on this idea of shadow IT. If you're sitting right next to somebody, you're providing that value, you have the feedback loops in place, you know, product owner is less likely to say like, oh my God, I just got to get this done and take his or her budget elsewhere. And that keeps, A, I think, knowledge a little bit more inside the company. You reduce some risks. You're not having as many vendors involved. And theoretically, it will increase time to market because you aren't dealing with onboarding, offboarding, third parties. You have that knowledge and the people, the human element of it, there for you for a long period of time.
That's exactly right. And we talk exactly about that, like bringing the shadow IT out of the shadows. So it's correct. You know, I mean, if you're able to do that, then, you know, we highly advise it and the data supports making that move. And I think you probably would hear very similar things if you were to talk to people in IT departments and large companies, small companies, international companies. It doesn't really matter. It's a pretty pervasive issue that's been around for a long time. But you're starting to see some of those companies that have been progressive and have taken the initiative to change, just given all of the speed, the rate of change that we've seen in the marketplace, start to kind of like bifurcate and separate all of the IT budgets and align the information technology staff members with functional areas of the business. And those are the ones that are seeing, from a data perspective, the most impact on business performance and financial performance.
You mentioned change a lot of times here. That's the really, I think, you know, either 1A or 1B theme to the book. Talk to us a little bit about connecting the themes of pace of change and the human element being really the core, most important part of creating a responsive enterprise. Do enterprises need to go about or change how they source talent, how they find talent, the speed in which they can bring people into an organization in order to meet these business goals, or in order to really become more customer centric, to have a higher level of operational excellence, or to become more agile at the enterprise level?
I think so. I think we need to take a different perspective on talent acquisition, specifically in areas that are moving very quickly, like cybersecurity, like cloud, like data, specifically the implications in AI and machine learning. There is a very large talent gap and, you know, a skills deficiency there. And so organizations that are kind of like opening up their aperture in a way where they're not following the more traditional talent acquisition paths. You know, they're looking for people with very specific profiles in terms of their educational background, their work experience, their certifications. That is clearly not going to get the job done moving forward. And that's one of the main reasons why we've got such a big talent deficiency with those types of positions, is that everybody's looking in the same place for a very limited amount of people. And so the organizations that take kind of a fresh perspective on that, like I said, open up the aperture and start looking for people that have the aptitude to perform specific roles, but they may come from very various backgrounds that are kind of like non-traditional backgrounds, but we're hiring people, we're identifying people that have the aptitude to do this. So it's more of an attract, train, and deploy methodology and approach versus let's go and look for the person who has all of the credentials and the background that we've historically done with other types of technology roles. You know, that's going to be really challenging for organizations. And we've seen that. It's one of the main reasons why there's been over a sustained period, this move to offshore a lot of these roles, because the, you know, if you look for just those people that have those, you know, very limited set of skills and education, it's very hard to find, you know, the amount of people that we need here in North America. You've got to kind of go overseas to find all of the people that we need to fill the roles that are open right now. So yeah, absolutely. Let's, you know, open up the aperture. Let's look for people that have aptitude of all kinds of backgrounds, and then let's train them. And I think on the other side of that, what you'll see is those individuals, those types of individuals that may not come from, you know, a typical IT computer sciences background, but we found them and we've trained them and we've deployed them to an environment, they typically are much more, they're more loyal. They've got the grit, the determination to get through situations that aren't going perfect. And you've got to course correct along the way. They've been through that, right? Like, they're not just getting out of college and haven't had to deal with a lot of adversity. So I think it's a positive for everybody, for the companies, for the individuals that are identified. You know, they get an opportunity to kind of like level up from a career perspective. And then the organizations get really loyal and ultimately very productive employees.
And I'm thinking about that customer centricity piece in particular. The first part of that is, you know, going offshore. I think you lose a lot of that connection. A lot of things with customer focus, customer service are very nuanced and regional, or, you know, customs based. So if you have a US or North American based user base, then that's going to be a very different customer experience, perhaps, than if it's in, you know, Europe, or if it's in the Middle East, or if it's in Asia. The second part of there is also finding that person with the aptitude who knows your customer, but might not already be within your organization, particularly your IT organization. You know, for example, let's say you're an on-time online realtor. You know, you sell shoes. Let's take Zappos as an example. If you're able to be able to hire someone in who has worked at a Foot Locker or at a Dick's Sporting Goods, or sort of knows the retail portion of what you're trying to do, and can bring that customer-centric mindset, that real-world experience into your IT organization, that's just going to boost your customer centricity like up, you know, 10, 12, 15, 18 levels, or whatever the case might be, because they have that practical professional experience that they can bring to their job.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. At one of the a previous company that I've consulted with, we had they're an international retail association, sports apparel organization, and they've got retail outlets all over the world. And they had a technology deficiency. Like, they were really having trouble hiring people to fill the technology roles that they had open at their corporate office. And we helped them identify individuals that were working in retail environments that had the aptitude to, you know, more of, like I said, like an attract, train, deploy situation, but they did that with inside of their organization. So it really amplifies the impact, right? Like, you're providing the opportunity to skill up people that are inside of your organization already. Like, they care, they're evangelists, they want to be with the organization. And so that really, I think that has much more profound impact for organizations. It's got that exponential multiplier that you've got raving fans, and they're also employees of the organization when they see that commitment to people that are working kind of frontline employees in a retail environment, and they go through an aptitude test or some other type of assessment. And then they're given an opportunity to do something different in the organization that could potentially propel them personally and professionally is really important.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because it's so often it's the idea of we need to bring talent into our organization rather than we need to develop the talent that we already have in our organization. And again, connecting it to the point that you made, especially about AI or emerging cybersecurity or cloud technologies, you can bring in outside talent, but so many of those technologies or processes are so new that someone starting from within your organization at zero is not going to be too far behind someone coming in outside your organization starting at 10 months experience on this. So to be able to keep the cultural aspects, to be able to keep all of the, you know, quote unquote, you know, interpersonal skills or connections that your employees already have, and be able to train them up on the technologies you need, is a very, I think, it's a great competitive advantage.
Yeah, it's always kind of funny. There's the joke in the industry around AI data scientists needed, 10 years experience required.
I can imagine seeing that somewhere. There's got to be a Reddit post or Reddit, you know, feed about job descriptions and job want ads with those sorts of characteristics. Yeah. And some recruiter has just been told by his boss that we need this, and they did not question it whatsoever.
Yeah, but we've talked about people, right, as being the most important part of a responsive enterprise. If you think about it from this perspective, it really starts to make sense. Like, if you're identifying individuals that just check the boxes in terms of, okay, they went to this college, they got this degree, they have X amount of experience doing this at a company in this industry, you're not checking off on one of the most important things, and that is that aptitude, that grit, that determination to see things through. That's ultimately the most important. Those are the most important factors for where we currently are in, you know, this ever-changing landscape, this business climate that we're in. So, I mean, you can check all of the boxes in terms of your educational background and your professional experience, but you might not have that determination to see really difficult situations through. And that's what you need more than anything right now.
Yeah. And it's almost takes on an identity in a lot of situations. Like, I am a fill in the blank developer. I have 10 to 15 years experience in this technology. That's what I do, which is great. That's fantastic. That might not be what the enterprise needs in 6 months as the waves of change keep crashing faster and faster, and people need to be agile and to evolve and to take on these new challenges, to learn new technologies and apply them as quickly as possible.
Yep, exactly. That's what we're seeing. You know, so the people that are going to reach out and embrace those opportunities and embrace the change, they're the ones that are ultimately going to contribute to organizations being successful in the future. We're going to have to be much more comfortable with it.
It's scary. It's this idea, especially now. I think the looming specter of AI just makes things even more confusing, because people want to adopt it. People want to bring it in. People want to have it make their jobs, their lives easier, their companies better. But it's also like, am I training my replacement for a little bit? Like, it's got to be in the back of a lot of people's minds, CIOs all the way down to someone who's, you know, implementing snippets of code on a website. They're like, what am I doing this? Am I learning this new technology and making myself obsolete? So that aspect of change, I think, has got to be really scary in our current environment.
I think so. You know, one of the other things that we talk about a lot when we talk about change and being able to capitalize on opportunities, I think it's worth mentioning here, is it might not be, you have to be very careful, especially with businesses that have been around for a while. They're relatively large organizations. It's risky, right, to make sweeping changes in an organization. So one kind of word of advice from implementing technology changes specifically is, you might want to use, and I'll make an analogy with like a caliber analogy here, like small caliber shots versus, you know, bringing out the cannons, the howitzers. So first you do some tests, right? You identify some areas where you think it's interesting, you think that there's an opportunity there. And you dive into those areas. And if you start to see some traction and some momentum and some success in those areas, then you can make larger investments in those areas. But you know, the prospect of pivoting an entire organization and very large budgets and customer segments and everything like that, and putting all your chips down on a big bet without doing those small caliber tests earlier on, probably a little bit too much risk associated with doing things like that. So just kind of a word of advice and caution that, you know, we need to test things out first and foremost. And once we start to see some traction in the right direction and some progress and some success, then we can start to place those bigger bets and in many times be early movers in an industry where there's lots of opportunity.
Operate with the scalpel first, not the chainsaw.
That's right.
The entire purpose of becoming more responsive, really transforming your organization into a responsive enterprise, is not just to become more responsive. Enterprises have to be able to see value from this change. So, sort of a final thought here: connect the dots between everything we've discussed, between responsiveness, between change, between talent, and then what is the ultimate business value if enterprises align all of these things and get them all right? They will benefit how?
Well, I mentioned at the beginning of our talk that we worked with Forrester Research on a pretty big study. It was about 450 decision makers in the IT industry. And it really validated a lot of the assumptions that we had around being able to respond quickly to change. What we saw and what the data really supported was that there's like one in six organizations when you start talking to these people that feel like they are prepared for change. They're prepared to take advantage of changes in the marketplace. But the ones that are, that those one in six, those organizations have a massive advantage over the other five organizations that were tested throughout this research. 60% increase in top line revenue and in operational efficiency and performance. So when you start to think about like the data around being a responsive enterprise, taking this seriously, implementing the things across customer experience, operational excellence, and enterprise agility, there are real benefits for an organization to expand and really extend their runway into areas that, you know, are going to be around for a long time. So the data really supports it, that if you do make these changes and you commit to it as an organization, break down some of these silos that we see in lots of the old school organizations that still aren't, you know, embracing things like enterprise agility. The benefits are very clear in terms of shareholder value on the other side of it.
Yeah, if you make these changes, you are literally stacking the dice in your favor. If the roll is one in six, you want as many possible things on your number, so that's the one that pops up.
That's right.
Kurt Schwab, Catalyte's president of On Demand, co-author of the book, The Responsive Enterprise: Transform Your Organization to Thrive on Change. Pre-order it now, out March 5th. Kurt, thank you so much for the conversation.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.